Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hi, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. On your wedding day, all eyes will be on you and your fiancé. Imagine your fiancé walking towards you looking incredible in a suit that's perfectly tailored, not some baggy overpriced rental. At Nick's Menswear, we've dressed over 20,000 wedding parties and over 60% of our business comes from referrals because we make this the easiest part of planning your wedding. For about the same price as a rental, we'll help you and your fiancé own a suit that's not only going to look great in your wedding photos, but can be worn again and again. Let us take care of the details so you can focus on the magic of your big day.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
We're up there, and, like, here are the people on the panel, so I'm, like, taking pot shots at Brian Brom. Because, like, that's what he came to Buffalo for.
It's Mike Shope.
You literally told EJ Manuel to his face that he sucked.
And the Bulldog.
I was proud of you, because I just...
I feel like that's what you're there for.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I know. I couldn't, though. No. I couldn't.
I'm better than you.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I don't disagree with him about that last point. I wouldn't say that if he were here, though. You know, that's just between us. For one thing about Bulldog, he is not, I'm pretty sure, doing what I was doing 15 seconds ago, which was, I mean, I think the operative word is scouring the waiver wire for just like a dart throw, block, pickup, week 17. I don't know. Do I really need to pick up Kevontae Turpin? Is that the life I'm living? It's the holidays. Connor Rogers with me on the Wester hotline from NBC and SNY and PFF. And Connor, I'm sorry your boy's not here.
That's all good, Mike. You'll do. Listen, you're fine. I'm still happy to be here.
I'll do. Thank you. I appreciate that very much. I'm always grateful for your time, especially during the holidays on a Friday. So thanks a lot. What exactly... do you do in the fantasy space? I know that's a part of your portfolio.
So I host Matthew Berry's fantasy show at NBC, which is 6 days a week. I am there Monday to Friday. On Sunday, I am with the Jets pre- and post-game, so I don't do fantasy football pre-game. But Monday to Friday, you name it, waivers, previews, best bets, we got it all covered. So it's a long, long but very, very rewarding year.
Buddy, I mean, I know. I'm hosting ADP Chasing now and my Deep End podcast, and it's like I'm so tired. It's so embarrassing to say out loud, but I'm just exhausted. You know what? This, we won't stay on fantasy, but as much as I'd like to, what's tricky this week, on top of the fact that the schedule is so splintered, like, you know, C.J. Stroud would have been iffy on Wednesday. Russell Wilson, maybe. These are guys you probably don't want to start, but it's the finals, and you've got to last night's game, either of those guys. Now we're getting to the weekend, and Connor, no Jalen Hurts, maybe no Anthony Richardson. This is tough right here. I might there might be teams out there who end up at Cooper Rush.
Mike, it's awful. Matthew said it best when we taped our show this morning today because of all the holiday chaos. He said this might be the worst championship week of all time when you factor in the injuries, the schedule because of the Christmas games and how it started, how bad Thursday Night Football was. And in our NBC show league, the championship, one of the guys in it, because it's a super flex league, which I'm personally not a fan of, but hey, when you're not the commissioner, you don't make the rules. One of the guys in the championship is starting Drake May and Cooper Rush as the super flex, and he's in the championship. That's the point we're at in week 17 right now.
Yeah. At the point where, like, Bo Nix is obvious. That's...
Yeah, you'd love Bo Nix against the Bengals. Sure.
You'd love Bo Nix. You might even like Mason Rudolph this week.
Yeah, you could be starting Michael Penix. You could be starting Mason Rudolph. We are in the barren wasteland at quarterback.
Wow.
Definitely at tight end. And then, you know, depending on your luck or unluckiness, you'll see how running back and wide receiver goes.
Right. Tight end, we're used to this, but not...
It's a disaster every year. And then you get excited. Like Kyle Pitts comes along and you're like, oh, this is going to be awesome. And then 3 years later, you're like, oh, man, this isn't awesome at all. We're back to square one.
I'm at, well, 2 weeks ago, I'm at, well, you know, I know Kyle Pitts is a trap, so I'll just, oh, this is the smart play. I'll just play Brenton Strange instead last week.
Yep.
And it's two catches. Ferguson is actually set up nicely here, I think, with Lamb out. So, Connor, to the point here, where does Aaron Rodgers fit into all of this for week 17 at Buffalo?
Well, the good news is he's milestone chasing, right? Which means he's going to throw, and that's what they've been doing in the red area a lot. You know, much to the chagrin, I think, of probably the running backs and even Garrett Wilson at times, but that's how it is for the Jets when they get down there. The 500 touchdown is on the line. It's no secret, if you just turn on the tape, that Rodgers is looking for Devontae Adams, so they get that 500 touchdown together. And, you know, now Rodgers, this is kind of an interesting scenario because he's not only been really banged up all year, which is less than shocking for a quarterback in his 40s coming off an Achilles, but it felt like in, you know, about three quarters through the season, he was moving well again, he got healthy again, and then he took a really, really rough hit last week where now it's out in the open. He's got a real knee injury, but he's going to play through it. He's been able to practice a little bit this week. Devontae Adams returned to practice actually today. He was dealing with a hip injury. He didn't practice at all Wednesday and Thursday. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I don't know if the Jets defense, especially with Sauce Gardner and Quinnen Williams, both questionable, and I would lean those questionables closer to doubtful than probable. If those guys don't play, I don't see how the defense is going to have any answer for the Bills' offense, which means Rodgers and company will be passing and chasing a lot of points.
The Bills' implied total in this game is 28 at home in December. Yeah. Okay. 28-18. Yeah, 10-46.
Yeah, I'd probably play that. I guess the only thing you fear is the clock, because the Jets' run defense without Quinnen Williams is, in my opinion, uncompetitive at times. And the Bills might go into this game and go, why are we going to drop back our MVP quarterback this close to the playoffs a million times? Let's just get all three of our running backs involved. We got a good offensive line. So then you go up against the running clock. It is Buffalo in December, so maybe the kicking game isn't great on both sides, as we've seen. That's probably why it could be tricky, but I still would lean at least a push of 28.
Okay, that's interesting. It's going to be in the 50s for this game, so it's not it's not frigid. And, Connor, I wonder about the MVP thing with Allen now. Like, that's gotten close. They're a 10-point favorite, and through the years, like, he's played even in the week 18 or the last game, including a game against the Jets, I believe, at home, where he started the game, and normally these days teams would not even risk that. He's got the longest going streak of starts for a quarterback. I'd expect him to play next week, at least start the game next week in New England, even if they don't need it. And I wonder just if, you know the Allen profile, right? Like, He's gotten to this point, so much of his reputation and his whole thing, his brand, is like the spectacular. And I don't know, like, I think everything you said is logical about what could happen Sunday. Anytime it's a 10-point favorite. But if that were to happen, I bet Allen would have a lot to do with it.
I don't think you're wrong at all. I think, you know, there's also the argument, I'm sitting here going running clock, run game. Well, I mean, who's to say he can't fall into the end zone two times on his own
right.
in that run game, right? I mean, he doesn't have to drop back to run up his numbers. He could easily come out of this game with one passing touchdown on, you know, we'll call it, say, 25 dropbacks or so. And then he could honestly fall into the end zone twice very easily with his running threat at the red zone. I don't think the Jets are very good against running quarterbacks, as we saw not only the first game against Buffalo, but really kind of been a theme this year with a lot of various quarterbacks. So, yeah, that's a good point. This MVP conversation has grown larger than life, and it's very entertaining. I mean, I don't really have a hard stance on it because I can't remember a year where two guys were having this much of a unicorn season. I guess it's crazy to even say that because Lamar and Allen have done this for a while now, but even for them, it's just you could give this award to either guy and go, yeah, that checks out with what they've done. But now we need to let the season play out for it to be decided, and that kind of goes full circle to your point here, Mike, that might play into it.
Right on. Connor Rogers, my guest, NBC Sports. Mike Schoep here, Bulldog, is off today. Thanks for listening. So what is your version, Connor, of this, like, the script of this Jets season? What went wrong other than, you know, most things?
Interestingly enough, it was always something different, which is fascinating to me. And the Jets are a talented enough team that they have no business picking in the top eight of the draft. So obviously a lot of things had to go wrong for them to be in this spot. I didn't pick them to win the division because I was always extremely skeptical of the coaching. And I think that came to fruition earlier than even they expected. But it wasn't just the coaching. I was skeptical of the coaching and thought, man, they could still be in play for a wild card spot because they just have a lot of talent. And what happened is they lost a lot of one-score games throughout most of the season. A handful of them were strictly on the special teams. I mean, you got to make your kicks. They lose strictly to Denver. They lost for a lot of reasons against Denver.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
But they still had the chance to win the game with a walk-off field goal. They missed that. They missed kicks against the Bills when the AFC East, you know, first place spot was on the line. And then a lot of things. The defense could really never close out a game when the ball got back to the other team in a 2 or 3 minute situation. And then Rodgers hasn't been able to pull off game-winning drives like he was brought here to do. You look at the Minnesota game. That's a really good Minnesota team. The Jets had them on the ropes in London. They actually were one of the best defenses this year, I think, against Kevin O'Connell's offense, especially in the second half. Darnold had no answers, and Rodgers missed a wide-open Garrett Wilson on a double move that would have been a game-ending touchdown, essentially. Forget the interception on the Mike Williams play. Everybody talks about that, but that play would have never happened if he just hit Garrett Wilson in stride. So they had multiple things go wrong on every single unit, special teams, offense, defense, and obviously the coaching really, really failed them. They haven't been a disciplined team. They haven't found their identity on offense, although they've scored a lot of points on offense over the second half of the season. But the defense hasn't been healthy, and it honestly hasn't been very good. And they didn't recover from the transitions on the defensive line. They lost four different guys on that defensive line. The guys they brought in and elevated roles haven't been any good. So it's, you know, it's kind of when it rains, it pours, and that's how you end up as a, you know, a 4-win team.
The season was close to, well, it was in trouble at the deadline when they made the Adams trade. But I defended them for making that move. You know, you've already bet big on this season. It's not over. And maybe he ends up being a huge difference maker. Would you have, like, did you think when they did that, that was worth doing?
I did. I thought that they had a problem at number two wide receiver. Lazard was not the answer in that area, and he had a lot of drops, and you knew this would free up Garrett Wilson. And the ironic thing, if you told somebody, you just threw away the wins-loss record, you said, hey, the Jets are going to get Devontae Adams, and in 9 games, he's going to have 56 catches for over 700 yards and 6 touchdowns. And you'd go, okay, that sounds pretty good.
Deal.
I mean, when you spread that across a full season, that's the number one wide receiver in the NFL. So in a nutshell, that move was fine. But they didn't. They weren't able to plug up all their other issues, and that ultimately just wasn't it. You couldn't outscore everybody, you know. So adding Adams, I agreed with you. I think that was the right idea in a nutshell, but they didn't do everything else that they needed to do.
Is Rodgers back next year?
I'd say no.
Okay.
I would say the weird caveat with this one is that they have to hire a GM and head coach, and you would think in theory those guys get to be a part of that decision. But I think ownership is out on this experiment. I think reading through the lines, I don't really get the sense that Rodgers loves being here right now, although I think he doesn't really have a lot of choices, and he's a very aware guy. I think he looks around and goes, man, like I'm not going to have a lot of opportunities around the league next year because I'm my age and my play. So I would put it at about a 10% chance he's back, and I feel like I'm even high-barring that because you just never know who they're going to hire and how they're going to feel, and if they want that, they want him here for a transition year while they get their guy under center. This quarterback class is not very good for the draft, where the Jets won't be in position to pick one. So I would still call it a pretty low chance, though. I'd call it 10%, and I think I'm really on the high end there.
Interesting. I feel like there might be an argument that, like, it's gotten a little bit better than the off-the-rails first half of the season and all the drama. Like, they're not winning, but we'll see what happens Sunday. It'd be a pretty good win. It's gotten a lot better. I keep hearing about, speaking of the Jets, Sam Darnold as, okay, well, where does he go next year? And I don't know, like, why wouldn't it be Minnesota necessarily? But would Tennessee, it's not a great quarterback draft, apparently. Tennessee, Raiders, some of those teams maybe would pay up for Darnold. And you're not saying this, that Rodgers wouldn't be a consideration for those same teams, but I don't know. Like, to me, there might still be a chance that somebody would want him.
There definitely is, because the demand, just the supply never meets the demands around the league for adequate quarterback play. And
right.
That's what Rodgers is right now. He's just adequate. Like, he's never going to put you over the top. Rodgers' biggest problem, and everyone knows this, is that he's not good enough anymore that you want to sign up for everything else that comes with him. And when things went really wrong with this team, when they were still in contention in the middle of the season, it just felt like he didn't have a lot of the answers and didn't make things better. And I think when you look at your quarterback, your leader of the organization, that's the guy that you want to have those answers besides the coaching staff. And I think it's led to some frustration from some of the skill guys on the team not named Davante Adams across the board, including Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall. And those guys carry themselves the right way and they say all the right things, but I think that it just hasn't played out the way that everybody hoped for. And I think at the end of the day, the supply is just so low that could I see a Rodgers, you know, a plan B or C scenario for the team that doesn't get Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders and he's a one-year stopgap and people need to try to keep their jobs? Yeah, that wouldn't shock me at all.
Would the Giants ever happen?
that's the funniest one, right?
Yes.
Because, like, who's going to be – is Brian Daboll still there? Brian Daboll and Aaron Rodgers might be the most explosive sideline
yes.
I've ever seen in the NFL.
Love it.
So that's a disaster waiting to happen. But then also, you know, do they get that opportunity? Does he get that opportunity? And then are they going to pick number one? It's looking like right now they will be. And will they take a quarterback? And if they do, they won't want Rodgers there for that. But it's not out of the range of outcomes. Let me say that.
Mm-hmm. Before I let you go, Connor, what's your – big picture view on the AFC playoffs here going in? The Bills know now that they won't get the one. They're the only team to have beaten Kansas City for much of the season. I'd say they look better than Kansas City, but it's not going to happen. How big of a factor is that for you?
I don't think it's huge. I think the Bills needed that win because I think it gave them the confidence. Not that they're not a confident team. They know they're a Super Bowl contender, but now they beat Kansas City this year. So it's like, okay, we beat these guys already. So I don't worry about the Bills not having the number one seed. Obviously, it makes your path a little bit more difficult, potentially, depending how the seeding plays out. I think at the end of the day, if you're Buffalo, you know, whether it's in Buffalo, whether it's Kansas City, whether it's on Mars, you're going to have to get through Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, and that's how it goes. And they're now mentally equipped for that. They still have to have the physical results. But this is a fascinating field, and I'll tell you right now, from an entertainment perspective, I am rooting heavily for the Cincinnati Bengals to find a way in here, because I think Joe Burrow is a top five player in the NFL just to turn the TV on and watch. And I don't think that Bengals defense would stand a chance in the playoffs, but just seeing Burrow try to answer every single drive, if we have an AFC playoff seeding that's Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, that's pretty unbelievable to me. So that's a scenario that I'm keeping my eye on. And just the fact that, you know, the AFC is kind of the MVP. You have to go through the MVP race to get to the Super Bowl. I think it's just, to me, wildly more impressive. And I know Detroit's had a good year, but they're running out of players on defense. Minnesota finds a way to win every week, but I don't know if they're a real Super Bowl championship contender. I guess we'll see how far coaching can take them. So I think the AFC race is specifically special.
Yeah, I would say I can't speak for all the fans here, but the Bengals are a little scary given what's happened in the past. The Bills have they've beaten everybody, including Kansas City. 4 years in a row, they've beaten Kansas City in the regular season. Baltimore in the playoffs, but the Bengals, you don't have at least that one piece where you've seen the Bills win the game against Cincinnati. There was the Hamlin game, the playoff loss, another one last year. So, yeah, for me, and we've talked about this all the time, of the possibilities at the 7 seed, they're the one that I think would be the most concerning. So, entertainment-wise, though, right with you. Like, yeah, of course.
Oh, it'll be amazing. Yeah, it would be amazing to watch.
Thank you, Connor, as always, for your time. Happy New Year, and we'll talk again soon, I hope.
Happy New Year, Mike. Thanks for having me, man. Always a pleasure talking to you.
My pleasure. Thanks. Appreciate that. Connor Rogers, SNY, PFF, NBC, all the letters. And knows his fantasy. Mark Andrews of the Ravens has been talking about tight end like we did for a minute. You know, one guy that's been a headache. Season started, they played Kansas City, and he might have had one or two catches, and then he had a zero against the Bills. Like, what happened to Mark Andrews? Isn't playing as many snaps. I looked today, 10 touchdowns. Fourth in the league, Andrews. So, not a comfortable start. This week's already taken care of, and he did score on Wednesday. But a lot of angst about him this year. Same number of touchdowns as Justin Jefferson, I believe, this year so far, Andrews. If you're in your fantasy finals and you've got an issue, I'm here, 803-0550. Sal at 5, Paul and the pregame show at 6. It is Football Friday on WGR. I'll be back in a snap. It's brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.